All right, guys. Hello and welcome back to the Canadian Bowler Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Caldwell, and I'm joined by Daryl again. How's it going, Daryl?
Hey, Luke. How's it going? I'm doing really well.
That's good. How's the life being trapped at home?
It's been interesting. Don't worry about the cough. I've had that for a very long time. It's just an off and on thing. But being trapped at home, it sucks. Let me just say that. It does suck. Okay.
Yeah, I can feel you on that one, Daryl. Alrighty, guys, before we jump into our guests, I just want to cover some housekeeping. We're only 5 subscribers away from 200, so don't forget to hit that red subscribe button down there on the bottom right. And as always, don't be afraid to ask questions in the chat. We always appreciate them, like the feedback. It's been great. And I guess it's time, Daryl, to bring on our very special guest, the man, the myth, the legend from Alberta, Derek Dillon.
Hey, Derek.
Well, hi guys, and thanks for having me.
How you doing today, Derek?
Good, mate.
Let me just fix your camera there. I'm going to make sure you're full center. Something happened there, but I think we're good now. You look great.
Well, that's the main thing.
It can't go off without a few hitches here and there, but yeah, you look great, Derek.
Thanks, mate.
Just quick before we get started, Cameron LaFren says he didn't miss you.
Yes, well, another class player that needs some mental work.
Absolutely. Alrighty, Derek, I'll start it off with an easy one. Who's Derek Dillon today?
Oh, Lucas, that's a tough one. So complex question first up. Derek Dillon today is a retired business guy that retired about 5 years ago and is now pretty well full-time with Lawn Bowls, whether it be coaching or various committees or boards of clubs or whatever it may be. So my life nowadays is living in Calgary and involved in bowls in one way or another pretty well full time.
It's awesome. So some people might ask you the accent. It's Australian, I'm assuming. When did you decide and why did you decide to move to Canada?
Well, many years ago, I was backpacking as a young guy, and I met a Canadian girl in Africa, and ultimately we ended up getting married, and I got married in Canada, in Medicine Hat, in fact, back in the late 80s, and ended up going to Australia after getting married for about 16 years, and then decided to bring her home and bring the kids over here to experience the other half of their heritage. Back in 2004, we arrived in Canada, and we've been here ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah. Derek, I wanted to ask you about, I guess a coach to a coach. I know you're a certified performance coach, and that was, I think it happened last year, around the same time that it happened to me, that we both went through that whole process. I was wondering, for our audience and for those that are interested in coaching or don't really have an idea, to you, how important is the NCCP program that you went through, and how instrumental has it been to your coaching development?
Yeah, listen, it's a terrific program. The National Coaching Certification Program, and particularly at the it gives you different levels, obviously, the club coach, competition coach, and then performance coach levels. They put on a lot of modules that you do at universities or wherever they hold them. And it certainly, as a coach, you know, developing it, it gives you a range of subjects that you never often think about in bowls. You know, some of the teachings you certainly, you know, don't relate to bowls that well, but there's always snippets in every module that you do. And one of the keys is is that you're meeting other coaches and bouncing things off other coaches, whether it be, you know, karate, downhill skiing, archery, hockey, football, you name it. You know, they have coaches there, and it's amazing some of the issues that, you know, lots of people in various sports have. We have the same kind of issues in bowls, and yeah, the advantage of doing that course is really, you know, all the learnings, not just from the structured material of the mod, various modules, and there's about 14, 15, 16 of them that you can do. But the feedback and ideas and thoughts of other coaches and what they deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it really just adds to your repertoire. You know, there's various things that you can call on, and as you go through coaching and you think, geez, I've got this issue with this athlete. You know, what did I learn at the NCCP, you know, that that might help on things? And certainly I've been able to draw on that course. So it's certainly well worthwhile.
That's perfect. Greg Wilson just popped in. I know he's one of your athletes. You also play with him. Don't touch the athletes.
Yes, well, there's certainly there's many laws around nowadays, and you know, I'm an old, more of an old time guy than anything else. And if your skipper wasn't behaving appropriately on the green, particularly during pairs, you used to be able to give him a whack. Where nowadays, nowadays you know coaches can't touch the athletes, of course.
That's
so
right.
That's where he's pulling that up from.
What's it like playing with Greg?
It's been, obviously enjoyable from my point of view, and hopefully from his. Greg come from Ontario out to Alberta, I think, in about 2014. And, he was a class player that came out to Alberta and was in the national squad maybe at that time, or he might have been just out of it at that time, but he certainly had been in the squad at that time. And I was lucky enough to team up with him in the pairs, and we've had some success. And it's a lot of fun. Greg's a type of skip that seeks input from his teammate, and a lot of the time we've been on the same page. And pairs is a thing that, you know, sometimes you end up with a guy that you don't even have to say anything. You just have a look and he understands the look, and, you know, and you're thinking strategy along the same lines a lot of the time without even hardly saying a word. So Greg and I tend to have that relationship. He can be a little more aggressive than what I'm used to, but we balance it out, and it's been okay so far.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, it's always nice when you can find a teammate who has similar ideas and can bounce off each other and make things happen.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, so Derek, we haven't spoken to any other coaches on the show, and I usually ask what's everybody's favorite moment from bowling. So since you're the coach, I'm going to ask you this, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but who has been your favorite player to coach and your least favorite player to coach?
Well, favorite player to coach, gee whiz. You know, that's a tough one, because I do like coaching some of the younger guys because you see them develop, and it's the same with even some of the more mature athletes, and you see them improve. Certainly one here in Calgary that I've done a chunk of work with is Mike O'Reilly. You know, he's the president of Calgary Lawn. He didn't start bowls until his early 50s, but he exudes everything that you want an athlete to do. You know, he certainly works hard at the game. He practices. He measures his training. He goes home and puts it on a graph on his computer, and he just eats, sleeps, and drinks bowls, and is always looking for. Where can I improve is in his dialect all the time. So, you know, from that point of view, he's been terrific to work with. Gee whiz, so, you know, on the worst player to coach, boy, that's got to be tough. That one, I don't know.
It's got to be Rob Law, right?
Well, you know, Rob, there's certainly been a lot of work done on his delivery, I guess, over the years. When I first saw Rob... and I think Daryl's probably done a lot of the work on this. Anyway, he looked like a robot that was trying to turn inside out. His knees were going all over the place. He's so low to the ground, he was almost like a gopher underneath the ground. And, some of those guys that start off with deliveries just naturally like that are hard to change. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And then there's always frustrating players too that you know that have got immense talent, and if they just, you know, if they worked at it harder and sort of, really stepped up and trained harder and did things to improve their game, you know that they could be one of the better bowlers around. So, yeah, there's been some frustrating ones over the years. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Sticking with the coaching side, I must say that Alberta has, in the time that I've been bowling, really, really improved as far as the players that they have, the systems that they have in there to bring younger players up or developing players up. And I know you've had a huge part in being sort of a guide and a mentor to all these athletes. What do you think has been some of the secrets to the success of Alberta in the last, I'll say, 4 or 5 years that have really made them a strong provincial player?
Well, certainly the improvement is down to the players more than anything, that's for sure. Yeah, certainly what they have now is a more structured professional approach, if I could put it that way. You know, I've been able to send out a number of things for them to read and to focus on in regard to bowls. You know, structured training programs for them to follow, you know, because training is just not, you know, practice is not playing a game. Practice is doing a structured training program that will help you improve your game so that when you come to play a competitive match, everything that you practice, you'll be able to, you know, to put into that game. So a lot of the players have certainly picked up on that. We've certainly had a number of development training sessions that I run at every club in Alberta. It's easier to do than Ontario, obviously. But, you know, a lot of players, young and old, come out to those. We were lucky enough to pick up a couple of juniors from the sport of curling that have come into bowls and have that competitive juices flowing and you know, the competition that they've played in curling and what have you is probably more fierce than lawn bowls. So they're certainly a lot more relaxed. You know, we just have constant contact with the juniors out here. We haven't got as many as we'd like, but certainly the ones we have, we're able to keep in contact with. They feel owners, you know, feel some ownership of the development program. And we also, along with Dave Matthey, him and I put together a Alberta versus British Columbia test match each year. And that's just for development players. So those players that may have been to nationals and what have you, but they're younger players, they're still developing, still things to learn. And this is just another, this is over a weekend we play this. And, you know, it's just more competition for the younger players, which is what most players in Canada need. They need more competition.
Perfect.
Right. Just seen in the chat a question. I'm going to assume it's for both of you guys. The Australians seem to have a big emphasis on physical fitness. Do you think that is an area that Canada Bowls has to focus on to be at the elite level?
Well, I'll let Derek take this one.
Well, that you just cut out on that one a bit, mate. But, yeah, certainly what I've seen with the national program in Canada, and I've actually I've done some training with the Australian high performance squad in Australia, where they do run some courses and that down there. And, you know, Canada is not that far off in what they do compared to Australia. It's just that in Australia, a lot of their players are full-time players. The money is in the game down there that they can play full-time. Certainly what Terry Scott, who's the head coach, has done in Canada has added a lot of professionalism and structure to the program, which is very similar to what certainly the more high-flying money-wise programs of New Zealand and Australia and England, Scotland, et cetera, Malaysia do. And it's just not about bowls. You know, We live in Canada. There's snow outside here in Calgary right now, so you know you can't bowl in Canada anywhere unless you're at the indoor facility in Vancouver. That's just the way it is. We don't have the money in the game where, like in Australia, you know, if you look at Broadbeach where Ryan Bester is, you know, there's probably five or six world-class bowlers that are employed by the club to work either behind the bar, bowls coordinating, whatever it may be, and gives them time to go and play in top-level competitions. We can't do that here in Canada. It's just the way it is. But certainly with the structure and the wholesome program that Terry Scott has introduced is very similar to Australia, where it's just not about bowls. You've got family, you've got work life to all balance, and it's you're in three baskets that you've got to balance things. So you know, which is tough to do, but certainly I think the national program is on the right track. In Canada, we have obviously a combination of players that are in Canada, and we have a combination of players that are based overseas, like Ryan, Kelly McCarran, Leanne Chinnery, etc. Joanna Cooper's been in New Zealand a lot the last couple of years with her PhD. So, you know, we do have players that are playing a lot, and we do have players that don't play a lot. You know, they're out working, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's always going to be tough when you go to a, you know, when you're going to Australia to play on fast greens. You know, if the World Championships were going ahead in May, and they're not, but we would have had players coming out of the winter here that probably, you know, a lot of them wouldn't have put a bowl down before going down to those championships since kind of November last year. So it's tough. But it's a good program at the moment, led by a very experienced bowler and international coach in Terry Scott. He's a Kiwi, which is a shame. But, you know, and the level of coaching in Canada associated with the program, like Daryl, is certainly, I think, what I've seen since arriving in Canada is that, you know, personnel-wise and structure-wise, the program's looking pretty good.
That's great. The only thing I'd add to that for Ralph, who asked the question, is we do have sections for fitness and for mental training. There are items that I think out of all the stuff that we do, those are the two that we struggle with the most. And I'm not saying from a program, but even as athletes, trying to maintain that physical fitness while you're doing what Derek said, maintaining family and work and everything else on top of training for bowls, it's difficult. So there is a focus on it. It does help, as well as the mental training as well. That always helps out.
Just as a somebody who's not a coach and from a player standpoint, I think it's definitely helps, but it's not necessary. Like, I've been both ends of the spectrum where I was significantly overweight and out of shape, and I still had mild success in bowls. And when I lost 50 pounds and was in the best shape of my life, I didn't really feel like I was much different of a bowler, but maybe the long hot days in the sun were a little bit easier. So I would say it's definitely helps, but it's not overly necessary to be in absolute pristine shape, like an Olympic athlete or something.
Well, it's a different fitness, there's no doubt about that, but it certainly helps your mental game.
Absolutely.
If you're fit, you know, a lot of these guys, certainly in Australia, which an advantage over a Canadian player, is that they're on the green, you know, all day long, every day, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly there was the case before Asia Pacifics in May of last year, that, you know, Ryan Bester, for example, had played previous to that tournament, had played something like 25 days in a row.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that is natural fitness, but he's on his feet walking up and down the green 25 days in a row. So, you know, his fitness is certainly more match fit rather than go and run 10 kilometres type fit, but it certainly helps towards the mental strength side of his game.
I agree. So we have another question here in chat, and it just goes back to the basics for you, Derek. What made you take up coaching in the first place?
I guess I've always enjoyed sport and getting involved in whatever sport it was at the highest level that I can. And that was the same in business. So, certainly when I was younger days playing cricket, I wanted to, playing cricket or tennis, I wanted to play at the highest level. And bowls was no different. I started playing bowls in about 1982, so I was about 22 years old. One of the younger guys around in those days. So I got to a good level that I found, balancing family and, my business life. And certainly wanted to get involved into coaching so that I could get to international level. As a player in Australia, I was not going to get to international level. I couldn't have afford the time and what have you. And by the time I come to Canada, I was probably too bloody old. So what retirement has been able to afford me is that I've been able to get into coaching full time and, with the purpose of coaching at grass levels and at elite levels. And it's what's been able to do so far. It's enjoyable as hell. And I tell you, it's almost more pleasurable than winning a national championship in pairs with Greg Wilson, for example, coaching him and others to achieve something or even get close. Like Greg got the silver medal in the national singles last year. Things like those events, even though you finish second, I tell you, brings out more emotion and more of a sense of achievement than doing it as an athlete itself.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons I like to coach, is to see the improvement in people and the advancement of the game of lawn bowls.
It's a great answer.
Absolutely.
I want to have a little fun with you. We've got a few pictures from Facebook and other areas that we've dug up. What I'll do is I'll throw them on my screen so that everybody can see, and we'll kind of talk through them. It'll just take a second for it to come up.
Right, I see it.
So the first picture we have here is obviously one that you've talked about a couple times. Pairs win in, I believe that was Willowdale.
Yep, 2015.
That's right. What's the significance of this to you?
Well, as far as I didn't win any national titles in Australia up to this point, and the likelihood that I will is probably pretty rare. So this was my first national title in Canada. I hadn't played in that many national events in Canada up to this point. I think this was my third year, I think. And significance because it was my first. And playing, I think this was only the second year Greg and I played together. So wow. It was that's why that one's significant.
Perfect. How about this one?
Yeah, well, this would have been just last year. This is at Juan de Fuca out on Vancouver Island. And these are the guys with the Alberta development team. Some of them, not all of them. But no, it's not. It's the Junior Nationals at Juan de Fuca again last year. So... Well, because the juniors are in the development squad, that's so it right. threw me for a little bit. But this is last year's national juniors at Juan de Fuca.
All right, and it looks like there's a medal that you're taking home there.
Yeah, I think that was a bronze, equal bronze for her and for Alexis and. That puts her into the junior squad nationally, I believe, which is what she really wanted to achieve.
Perfect. Now, I brought this up because not only is it a great picture of you, but I wanted to ask, who is Derek Dillion?
You know, it's amazing how many people over the years, Daryl, have added an I to my surname for some reason. It's unbelievable. This photo is actually from the Calgary Lawn. I was being interviewed on Global News because this was first week of September for the National Seniors Championship last year, the year before, and it was freezing. we'd got a cold snap in Calgary. Players were rugged up. We were chipping ice off the plimps before play would start.
Wow.
And it was hovering around 0, 1, and 2 degrees, and it was absolutely freezing. And the National Senior Triples Championship made the news there, and they were interviewing me as an Australian to say how did I like this weather, and I think some of what I said was bleeped out, but I said doesn't matter how long you've been here, you just do not get used to it. But yeah, that's a snapshot from Global News.
Perfect. How about this?
Gee whiz, there's a couple of characters right there, Old Cara and Robbie Law. So, yeah, this was in Glasgow a couple of years ago at the World Under 25, I think, kind of indoor championship they called it. It didn't have many countries from the Southern Hemisphere, but these two won the Cara won the junior singles in Canada, and I think Robbie was runner-up, I believe, to Owen Kirby, who couldn't attend the event. So I think this was in December of 2018 in Glasgow at the indoor facility there.
Was this your first kind of stint under Bulls Canada doing coaching?
No, I think the North American might have been.
Oh, right.
First, perhaps, because this was in December, and I think the North American Challenge was in October in California, I believe.
That's right. That's perfect.
I think.
I know three of these people. I don't know about that guy right standing right next to you, but what do you think about those people?
Yeah, that's a boy, I'm making that shirt look a little large there, aren't I? I'm just sticking the chest out there. But, yeah, listen, that's the obviously the head coach, Terry Scott, on the right-hand side. There's Dazzle Fitzgerald, the National Youth Development Coach. Gene Rooney, of course, a very accomplished bowler, and myself with plenty of product in the hair there, I notice. that photo is actually at Mermaid Beach Bowls Club.
That's
and
right.
On the Gold Coast, and that was practice for Asia Pacifics last year.
That's right.
One of the training days we had at Mermaid Beach. And that's a good squad. I tell you, I've got to say, we do think similar strategies. We do think similar things about the national program. Terry's brought it all together with structure and professionalism, and I think the results have showed.
And I do have to do a shout out to you here, where between Terry and yourself, I was the best kept coach in Australia. I mean, the meals that were made, everything that was taken care of, I felt like royalty. It was amazing.
Yeah, you were a spoiled brat, Daryl. There's no doubt about that. You know, there was plenty of super crisp around for you, and
that's right.
The meals were excellent. There's no doubt about that. And Terry and I certainly put together a lamb roast for the whole squad there on our Sunday off, and it was a good trip and some good results.
And finally, the corduroy shorts. What's the story behind that?
Well, everyone needs a brand, and you know, amazingly, the young players in some of the squads nowadays supposedly have never seen corduroy shorts. You know, they think it's something out of the 70s, which it is, I actually wore a pair of corduroy shorts when I was backpacking, and I traveled to Africa for 6 months. I left London November 1st and finished in Johannesburg 6 months later, and I wore the same pair of corduroy shorts the whole way. So the story sort of began from there, and then corduroy started to come out again, and I certainly snafu'd a few pairs all the same, by the way, because they don't come around very often. But it just shows you in fashion, if you wait long enough, things you like will come back around. So
perfect.
A lot of the young players, like a Wilson and a Law, et cetera, have not seen corduroy much before. So it's just another aspect of life as a coach that you teach these young players, about things about life, you know, other than just bowls, Darryl, as you would know.
That's right. So we have a question from actually a guy that's local to me, Dave Allen, out in Preston, Cambridge, Ontario. How can Bowls Canada and provincial organizations help develop bowls for people with disabilities? We have some experience with blind bowlers, but I really haven't seen much with wheelchairs and others.
You know, no, we haven't, and we certainly can. And I think Don Caswell and Catherine McGregor are certainly two people I know that are kicking that off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, current climate in the world has stopped a lot of those advancements. And it's certainly something that we can introduce it to disability bowls in Canada. We certainly for many years had blind bowlers go overseas and compete at world championships and what have you. And certainly at Calgary Lawn, we've had some foray into disability players. So it's certainly another aspect of the, it's a game that disabled players can play, whether Absolutely. In a wheelchair or whether it may be. There's certainly world championships, there's Commonwealth Games, et cetera, that, that you can certainly level that you can get to. And it's just, you know, one of those things that lawn bowls is not a, in Canada, is not something that if you said lawn bowls to the general person in Canada, they may not know what the hell you're talking about. So it's just a matter of certainly getting that word out. It's an aspect that clubs could certainly promote. There's certainly ways to do it. You know, you're not going to damage the greens with wheels from the wheelchair. There's certainly rubber pads you can put on the end of walking sticks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that clubs overseas, that other jurisdictions overseas have been doing for many, many years.
Perfect. Yeah, I know there's programs being put in place, obviously. The unfortunate situation that we're in right now, there's just none of that being pushed forward, but I know that it's in the books and it's ready to go once we actually get to kick off.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. It's another avenue of getting players. That's for sure. At your club.
For sure. Do you have any more questions for Derek today, Darryl?
No, I think I've exhausted my list.
Already. Well, I would like to thank you for your time today, Derek. It was a good time. I'm sure I had a good time talking to you. And we appreciate you. And I hope that you have a good rest of your day.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And keep up the good work. This is a terrific program. And it gives all of us who are sitting at home thinking about bowls rather than being able to do anything about it. Certainly on scanning YouTube, watching games and Facebook, that on things that are being reshone there, that this is another aspect of bowls that promotes the game, gets the sport in the minds of people, and it's guys like you that are the future of the game, and it's great that you're promoting it this way. So thanks for having us.
Perfect. Thank you a lot, Derek.
Thanks, Derek. All righty. That was a good chat with the one they call Captain Corduroy.
Good time. That's right. So I know we haven't really touched on it, and it's what's going on. But what do you think about all the shutdowns and all the kind of stuff that's going on right now? Everything's on hold. We're kind of locked down in our houses. I guess it's just hold as usual. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I guess since the last time we spoke, Bulls Canada came out with the big article on the, I guess, cancellation or suspension of pretty much everything for the upcoming season. I mean, for me personally, it's kind of lame because I was really looking forward to playing in my last year of the under 25 championships, especially that it was here at home in Peterborough. So it would have been nice to hopefully put on a show for some locals and my friends and family and whatnot. So I think that would have been a lot of fun. I was also really looking forward to playing in the provincial stuff and just trying to see what was going on there. And a lot of other things I had scheduled with that seemed like they were going to be good in the Bulls world. I mean, hopefully things change, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to be kind of negative about it. I don't see that happening in the near future personally, but who knows. Other than Bulls aside, yeah, it's pretty boring sitting at home. I've been laid off for God knows how long now. It seems like forever. It was before this whole thing, so I've been kind of prepared to sit at home, so it's not fun. Especially this time of year, there's really not a whole lot to do.
No, I can tell you, I was actually working from home a fair bit before this all kicked off, and now it's exclusively at home. And I know my company, I'd say about 90%, if not 95% of the people are working remotely, and there's only kind of a skeleton crew at the office scattered, and they've scattered them all through the office to keep them away from each other. It's a bizarre world. When I go outside when I have gone out to actually pick up some groceries, everything except for like the supermarket or some of the gas stations, it's a ghost town at some places.
Ralph Allison in the chat was saying, if you look at large sports organizations like the NBA, their most optimistic plan is to reopen at the end of June. That might not happen. It's very hard to predict. I agree. I mean, I hope things start up again in June or May or even sooner or a little bit later. But again, you're very right. It's definitely going to be very hard to predict. Who knows what's going to happen? It's very unclear. For sure.
That's right.
Yeah, and so it's kind of funny. I mean, Daryl, you know, but not a lot of people might know. It's like I'm a little bit of a nerd and spending so much time at home, I don't even know what to do with my time. That's how boring it's been.
I know. Luke and I talk quite a bit,
almost every day, probably.
Almost every day at some point, yeah. And it's sometimes hard to find things to do. You know, you get outside for a little bit, but you can't go and do too many things because you want to be responsible. You want to have that social distancing. So maybe your backyard or maybe just walking around the block a little bit just to get some fresh air. Being stuck in your house, it's a total mindset change where what do you do? Can you pick up some projects that you haven't done? If you don't have projects, you know, what can you create for fun? And it could be a struggle.
Yeah, for sure. I know for me, when I was on the 14-day lockdown from my doctor, waiting for my test results for COVID-19, it was pretty boring because I couldn't even go outside. I couldn't really leave my room. It was pretty boring. So that wasn't a whole lot of fun. But now that I can at least go outside, it's not terrible. With the negative test results, I can at least do a few more things. I can go get myself groceries if I need to, or I can go outside and walk around or whatever. I'm a big fan of fishing, so I mean, that would be something I would like to do, but unfortunately no fishing opens in around here until the end of June, so I've got a while to wait for that, so I can't social distance myself on the lake yet.
But the good news is, and he didn't say it, but he kind of hinted at it, Luke's test was negative, so that's very, very good. We were glad to hear about that.
I hope that nobody has to take that test. It's awful. It hurts, and it sucks. All I can say. And it is definitely a scary feeling when you walk into a hospital and everyone's basically in a hazmat suit except for yourself.
So I can imagine.
It's interesting to say the least.
Wow. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to transition over to this, but we've been working on something to try to pass the time for all bowlers.
Yeah, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
All right. I'm going to throw up the desktop so you won't see us for a couple seconds. It might take just a second to show up. But here for the show, for our website, for everybody out there, we've created kind of a fun thing. It's kind of like a March Madness feel. It's the end of March. So we're not going to call it March Madness, but we're calling it the Gloat Championship. So the greatest lawn bowler of all time. I know some people have very, very strong opinions about who they think is the best lawn bowler ever. But what we've done is we've created a list of 32 bowlers, and you can see the full bracket here, of some of the best bowlers from around the world. And what we've done is pick players from as many countries as we can to get a full global representation. We've picked players from both genders, trying to get as equal a split as possible between male and female. And also just get a feel of people from different fields of the game. So some were dominant in indoor, some were dominant in outdoor. Some had a fantastic Commonwealth Games records. And some just had like World Bowls or World Indoor Bowls, or even some had one from each. It's been really, really interesting for me to go through this and see some of the names. Some people I didn't know, but having looked at their records and their trying to find some videos on them, I can really respect what they did for the game and how they did. So we've got old, new legends that have long since retired and don't play anymore, and we've got some that are still padding their resume as we speak. So what we want to do is invite everybody that watches this podcast, that looks at CanadianBowler.com and enjoys lawn bowls, to take a look at this. We're going to open up voting. Some polls will be going up on the Canadian Bowler Facebook site very shortly. I think they're scheduled for about 12:30. They'll be up. And what you can do is you can go on and vote based on 8 of the matchups. And I will tell you the matchups right now. The matchups that are going up today for voting will be number 1, Alex Marshall versus Robert Perella. Sorry. Number 4, Karen Murphy versus Laura Daniels. Number 5, Tony Alcock versus Siti Zelina Ahmad. Number 8, which is Kelsey Cottrell versus Robert Wheel. Number 9, David Bryant versus Dick Fulkins. Number 12, Norma Shaw versus Lorna Trigwell. Number 13, which is Paul Foster and Jerry Baker. And the final one is number 16, which is down at the bottom here, which is Andy Thompson versus Kelvin Kirko. Some of these are some heavyweight bouts. Some of them are very, very accomplished. And I'll just transition back to Luke and I here. I'm hoping that this can be a lot of fun. I encourage everybody to go on, look at these matchups, do your research. Understand what these bowlers have done, not only as far as winning in the game of bowls, but what they've done outside the bowls. Have they inspired their country? Have they inspired internationally? Have they done some coaching, done some executive work, all that kind of stuff? What have they meant to bowls, and why are they the greatest lawn bowler of all time?
Absolutely. And yeah, of course, even if you know some people who love the sport of lawn bowls, don't be afraid to share it around. Even if they haven't seen the show, we'd like it to kind of reach as far as possible, have lots of good numbers on the votes, and it'll be a good time. Unfortunately, Ralph, there is no Vegas odds established yet. It would actually be kind of neat to put odds on it, but I don't know how we would do that.
Yeah,
We'll have to get in touch with Ryan Stadnick and get a Calcutta going.
It took us long enough just to come up with a list and come up with more information on this. It's a tedious job. And what we'll do is, this will be the first 8 for round 1. And then the next show, we'll announce the winners. I think voting closes on Thursday, just before the show. So that's roughly 2 weeks, or just under 2 weeks. And we will also announce who the next... Or obviously, it'll be the last 8 that we will be competing. And then we get down to the nitty-gritty, where we start getting into semifinals, quarterfinals, and then eventually right down to the final battle, which will be for the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and I think it'll be kind of neat going forward. We can have a little segment in the show where we try to find some clips, maybe in the final 8 or something, of each player, and kind of just highlight highlight what they've done and what why people know who they are and whatnot. I think that'd be kind of neat.
So also, so people know, if you go to our YouTube channel, which is obviously, if you're listening to this live right now, you're there. If you can share our YouTube channel and tell people to go there, we will have a collection, which right now I think I have about 10 videos, which will drop at about 1 o'clock today, that'll highlight almost every single person that's in the first 8 matches. There's some legendary matches that we're putting up. I've scoured YouTube and other sites just to try to find video that highlight each individual player. So go on there, watch some matches, get a sense of who these people are and what they've done, and give them the respect that they deserve. Learning about all these people will give you an idea of just how great lawn bowling has been, and hopefully, coming out of what we're in today, lawn bowls can be just as great now as it was when some of the legends of our sport were playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all updates on the videos and whatever else, if you hit, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but if you hit the subscribe button, the red subscribe button, there's actually a bell beside it. And if you click the bell, it'll turn on notifications. So every time a video goes live, you'll be able to see whatever it is. Like, it'll just notify. I think it goes to your email, and I think it also would be on your YouTube client somewhere as well.
That's right. So really, we just want to have some fun. We're here. We're stuck in our houses. You have time, and you want to know a little bit more about lawn bowls and about what's going on. You know, have those conversations. If you feel strongly that someone deserves to win the matchup, comment, post about it. Tell everybody why you think they deserve, and try to sway those voters to the person that you think. It's a great way to have conversations. It's a great way to reminisce about some of the great matches that we've had, and some of the people that have won some amazing championships and gone on some fantastic streaks. It's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Alrighty. Oh, you go ahead, Daryl.
So, links in the description below. Okay, go to CanadianBowler.com. We're gonna have small bios on every single person that we have in this tournament. Go to our YouTube channel, which, if you're on here right now, don't forget to come back and take a look at all the videos that we're going to be posting on these competitors. And also go to our Facebook page, Canadian Bowler on Facebook. That's where all the voting will take place, and we'll try to push people to that location so we can get as many voters as possible. And don't forget to share this around to your friends, family. Post it in your bowls groups. Get people involved. Let's have some fun with this, all right?
Yeah, and it's just as easy as one click. All you got to do is click the share button on the Facebook, and it'll go to everybody that sees your stuff on their feed on Facebook. So that'll definitely help it go a long way for sure.
Absolutely.
And I guess with that being said, I guess that brings us to the end of the show, Daryl. It's time for the final end.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're skipping Coach's Corner and some other stuff this week. We had a great conversation with Derek Dillon. I'm really happy that he came on the show and gave his expertise. I forgot, and I know I was supposed to remember. I just wanted to give a shout out to him. He was honored with the Athletic Leader Award from the Calgary Booster Club. He's the first lawn bowler to receive this award. It means a lot to bowls in Alberta. I know it means a lot to him. So congratulations, Derek, on that. I meant to ask you about that, but really, fantastic job. Great coaching out in Alberta. And looking forward to having some more awesome guests. If you know any guests, you know, give it in the comments below. Send us some tweets. Send us some Facebook messages. Let us know who you want to see on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that being said, thanks everybody for tuning in today. Thanks again to Derek Dillon and Daryl for joining me today. It's been a pleasure as always, and hope everybody enjoyed. Don't forget to, like Daryl said, comment down below on guests or advice, whatever you have. Hit the like button, subscribe button, make sure you get your bell on so you get all of our notifications. I hope everybody has just as much fun as us with the Gloat Challenge that we have going on.
I hope so.
And I hope that everybody has a great rest of their day today, a good weekend. And as always, guys, until next time, may all your shots be touchers.